podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts.
Welcome to the Royal Air Force Museum podcast. I'm Reginald Warneford, the first member of the Royal Naval Air Service to receive the Victoria Cross for actions in the air. His citation reads, "The King has been graciously pleased to approve of the grant of the Victoria Cross to Flight Sub-Lieutenant Reginald Alexander John Warneford, Royal Naval Air Service, for the conspicuous act of gallantry specified below. For the most conspicuous bravery on the 7th June 1915, when he attacked and, single-handed, completely destroyed a Zeppelin in mid-air. This brilliant achievement was accomplished after chasing the Zeppelin from the coast of Flanders to Ghent, where he succeeded in dropping his bombs on it from a height of only 100 or 200 feet. One of these bombs caused a terrific explosion which set the Zeppelin on fire from end to end, but at the same time overturned his aeroplane and stopped the engine. In spite of this, he succeeded in landing safely in hostile country and after 15 minutes started his engine and returned to his base without damage." Reginald Alexander John Warneford was born in India in October 1891, the son of a railway engineer. Adventurous and impulsive by nature, he joined the Merchant Marine at the age of just 13, becoming an apprentice to the British India Steam Navigation Company. Later he moved to the parent company, the Peninsula and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, or P&O for short. 10 years later, on the outbreak of the war in August 1914, he immediately joined the first military service available, the Army. But within weeks, he transferred to the Royal Navy, becoming a member of the Royal Naval Air Service. Warneford learned to fly at one of the flying schools at Hendon. In these early days, flying training was very simple. Few aircraft had dual seats, and so pupils would taxi around the airfield with the instructor jogging or on a bicycle beside them, shouting instructions. They had master moving the aircraft side to side on the ground, and then make short hops, followed by short hops and turns, and finally would be able to take off and fly a circuit of the airfield, being careful of the trains on the Midland Railway alongside the Eastern Perimeter. Having mastered these basic manoeuvres at Hendon, Warneford was sent to complete his advanced training at RNAS Upavon. With his training finished on 25th September 1915, Warneford returned to Hendon, where he qualified for his Royal Aero Club flying certificate in a Bristol biplane. He was commissioned as a flight sub-lieutenant and was posted to No. 2 Wing, Royal Naval Air Service, at RNAS Eastchurch on the Isle of Sheppey. Here his new commanding officer found him to be a good and brave pilot, but one unsuited to routine patrols and mundane discipline. As soon as possible, transfer was arranged for Warneford to No. 1 Squadron, part of No. 1 Wing, based at Fernray, near Dunkirk in France, where he arrived on the 7th of May. Despite crashing on one of the unit's lorries on his first day, Warneford very quickly proved himself. On his second day, flying a two-seater Vosson over the Belgian coast, Warneford chased a German reconnaissance machine and forced it back to land at his own aerodrome. Over the following weeks, Warneford's aggressive spirit continued to show itself, attacking German aircraft and ground targets. His commanding officer, Arthur Longmore, decided to give Warneford a free rein and assigned him his own aircraft, a Marine Saulnier monoplane. This was fitted with a Ford Fine machine gun. Although the Frenchman Roland Garros was experimenting with interrupter gear, a system where the machine gun would be interrupted every time the propeller blades passed in front of the muzzle, so stopping the bullets from destroying the propeller, this mechanism was still crude, and so Warneford adopted a more basic system. Metal plates were attached to the propeller blades so that any bullets that hit them would be deflected to either side. Warneford's aggressive behaviour was such that his aircraft was soon regularly receiving battle damage, and so he was also assigned a second Marine Saulnier to use when the other was being repaired. One of the primary roles for the Royal Naval Air Service in Belgium was to combat the German airships that were based around the German and Belgian North Sea coasts. The large, rigid airships, commonly known as Zeppelins, though actually built and designed by a variety of manufacturers, were used to attack Allied shipping in the North Sea, and more importantly politically, to to attack targets on mainland Britain too. By patrolling the coast, the RNAS hoped to intercept and shoot down these airships. Warneford's first encounter with the Zeppelin came on the 17th of May. That day he was flying a Newport two-seater, with leading mechanic G.E. Medis as his observer, with Lieutenant Spencer Gray's aircraft in formation. They spotted German airship LZ-39 over the Belgian coast, setting out to bomb targets in Britain. Both pilots attacked the airship, raking it with machine gun fire from below, but the airship jettisoned some of its ballast and shot up several thousand feet and out of range of their aircraft. This outcome was not unusual. Aeroplanes were usually slow and underpowered and were unable to keep up with airships if they climbed rapidly. This was why, so far, no one had been able to shoot down a Zeppelin from an aeroplane. Warneford's next encounter with a Zeppelin came a few weeks later. On the evening of the 6th of June 1915, Longmore received word that three Zeppelins had just bombed targets in England and were returning across the North Sea. He immediately dispatched four aircraft, two Henry Farman types flown by John Wilson and John Mills, to bomb the airship sheds at Ever, and Lieutenant Rose and Warneford in Marine Solliers to attempt an air interception. If unsuccessful, as was likely, they were to carry on to bomb the airship sheds at Bersham St. Agathe. Warneford took off in his reserve aeroplane, serial 3253, loaded with six 20-pound house bombs, at 1 a.m. on the 7th of June. His machine gun had been removed, as both bombs and gun would have been too heavy to carry. As he flew north, up the coast, he spotted an airship over Ostend, and he set off in pursuit. This was LZ-37, a German army airship commanded by Oberleutnant von der Hagen, with 28 officers and men. This airship, with two others, had set out to bomb England, but had been forced to return by deteriorating weather conditions. The three airships Longmore had been told about were German Navy airships, and it was pure chance that the Warneford should discover these ones instead. After about 45 minutes, by now over Bruges, Warneford closed with LZ-37, but came under fire from the airship's machine guns. For 20 minutes, both craft manoeuvred to attack each other, with Warneford trying to get above the airship, before LZ-37 broke off and returned for home. Warneford was now at 11,000 feet, and well above the retreating airship, and he turned his engine off and dived. As he crossed over the airship, from end to end, he dropped his bombs. For a few seconds, nothing happened, but as he dropped his last bomb, the gigantic gas bag exploded. Warneford's aircraft was thrown across the sky and went into a steep dive. His engine cut out, and although he managed to regain control, he was forced to land behind the German lines. Examining his engine, he found that the petrol feed line was damaged, and after 35 minutes on the ground, he was able to repair it and take off again. It was still night time, and he was soon lost and had to land a second time, this time on a beach. At dawn, he had found he had come down behind Allied lines, and after obtaining some more fuel from a nearby French unit, he flew home, arriving at about 10:30 a.m. Here he found that Wilson and Mills had also had successful nights, destroying some of the airship sheds at Ever, and destroying LZ-38, which had been inside one of them. He also discovered that his airship, LZ-37, had crashed on a convent near Ghent, killing all but one of the crew, plus two nuns and two other civilians on the ground. Warneford had become the first person to shoot down an airship in an aeroplane. Given that these airships were being used to bomb military and civilian targets in Britain, this act gave the public at home a terrific morale boost. King George V immediately conveyed his congratulations and awarded him the Victoria Cross, the highest gallantry award available to the British Armed Forces. This was confirmed in the London Gazette on the 11th of June. On the 9th of June, as a symbol of appreciation, the French Secretary of War, General Joffre, confirmed Warneford as a Chevalier of the Legion d'Honour. On the 17th of June, Warneford travelled to Paris to receive his liege and honour. On his way back, he was ordered to collect a Henry Farman biplane from the depot at Paris and to fly it back to his squadron. After the ceremony, he duly reported to the depot and took up the Henry Farman for a test flight with another RNAS officer. Landing and satisfied with the aircraft's performance, he changed passengers and took off again. This time he was taken up an American journalist, Henry Needham, who had never flown before. Perhaps influenced by this, Warneford's wild streak reasserted itself, and he began to violently throw the aircraft around the sky. From 1,000 feet, he dived at the spectators on the ground, coming out just over their heads, before pulling up into a steep climb. At about 200 feet, his right wing collapsed. As the aircraft dropped, both Warneford and Needham were thrown from the cockpit and fell to the ground. Reginald Warneford was rushed to Versailles Hospital, but he died on the way. His body was returned to Britain, and he was buried on the 22nd of June in Brompton Cemetery, London, with full naval honours. Over 50,000 people flocked to the cemetery to pay their last respects.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.